Good morning, everyone. I'd like to officially call to order the Marin County Transit District Board of Directors meeting. Today is Monday, July 7th. We'll go ahead and start with a roll call.
Yes, I will now call roll. President Lucan?
Here.
Vice President Sackett?
Here.
Second Vice President Casissa?
Here.
Director Colbert? Director Moulton Peters?
Here.
Director Radoni?
Here.
Director Bushy?
Here.
Director Yorans Gulati? Thank you. We have a quorum.
Thank you. We don't have any directors participating remotely, but before we move in for public time or open time for public expression, Kate, will you provide instructions for those joining remotely?
Yes. At today's meeting, in-person comments will be heard before virtual comments. If you are joining us on Zoom and you would like to comment, please use the raise hand icon located on your screen. If you're participating by phone call, please press *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, your name will be called and you'll be prompted to unmute your device. You'll then have 2 minutes to speak. This concludes the instructions. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, we'll jump right in to see if there is any public comment for today's meeting. Is there any in the room? Not seeing any online.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. Any board of director matters to start off the day? Looking around. Not seen any. We'll go straight to our general manager. Welcome, Nancy.
Good morning, President Lucan and directors. I have a report for you this morning, a brief one, Kate, if you can bring, there we go. If you can go to the next slide, in fact. Last month, I reported on the May revise of the state budget, and where at that time, there were transit cuts proposed that would have impacted about $800,000 a year in funds to Marin Transit's capital program. And the good news for transit agencies is that the final budget agreement, which, was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor on June 27th, rejects the cuts that had been proposed previously, the transit cuts. And so we have basically restored most of that funding. It retains the transit TIRCP and the LCTOP programs, which I'm going to try to say what they are now, Transit and Intercity Rail Capital Program and the Low Carbon Transit Operations Program. So those are just been preserved for FY25-26. So the final budget agreement left out some key transit funding questions, or left them unanswered, I should say. And in fact, the budget currently defers the decisions about the cap and trade program, which was the governor had proposed renaming to Cap and Invest. And that those discussions are being held later this summer. The budget agreement also acknowledged the need to address fiscal emergencies among the Bay Area transit operators, specifically BART, AC Transit, Muni, and Caltrain. And it provides a two-year deal of $750 million loan to those agencies as they work through their fiscal challenges until the local revenue stabilize. So that's the update on the budget. Next slide, Kate. WTS, or the Women's Transportation Seminar, supports and advances women's careers to strengthen the transportation industry. And this year, the WTS San Francisco Bay Area chapter awarded Marin Transit its Employer of the Year Award. And in making the award, WTS acknowledged that Marin Transit is as a supportive and collaborative and an innovative place to work and learn. We have a track record of hiring and retaining and promoting talented women. 67% of our staff are women, and 75% of our directors' level positions are filled by women. So we're very proud of that award. Next slide. Back in March, we provided Caltrans with a comment letter and provided that to your board too regarding their design of the Tiburon Boulevard improvements. It's called a SHOP project. Our comments focused on the bus, bike, and pedestrian safety elements, particularly at the bus stops. And staff have participated in multiple stakeholder meetings and with meetings with Caltrans to communicate our needs and concerns as it relates to preserving transit access and service. Staff also attended a June workshop hosted by Stephanie Moulton Peters and Holly Thier, mayor of Tiburon. And there we were presented with the proposed Caltrans proposal to phase the project into two phases first to address the basic needs in that first phase, and then second phase would provide some additional features. We are still meeting with Caltrans. We are hoping to meet with them very soon. And we are certain that there is a solution that's achievable for all of us to have safe bike lanes and bus stops and have a safe operation of that facility. So we're looking forward to continuing those discussions. Next slide. We have some open house events coming up here. We're hosting two events in partnership with Golden Gate Transit to collect input on the local transit service. And you're going to hear a lot more about that today in the form of mascots, which is one of the key topics. We'll also be discussing our new bus maintenance facility, which also we'll be talking about later in your agenda, and then also updating the public on some of our Marin Access Program changes. And those are being held. The first one will be held on July 22nd at the Marin City Library at 5 o'clock, and the second one will be held at the Alboro Community Center on July 23rd at 6 o'clock. Next slide. In May, your board adopted changes to the Marin Access Programs and services that went into effect on July 1st. And this slide shows a brief update of one of the biggest changes, which was to the Marin Mobility Wallet and the shift from Catch a Ride. It's as we've shown on the slide, we've issued 336 cards. About half of those are eligible for what we call MOFO, so the low income or income, those who face income barriers. We, all in all, we've funded the cards with just over $67,000, and riders have spent roughly $2,000 in the first 2 days of the program. Again, reminding you, those are about $200 in each card. The cards can be used with 10 different providers. You know, previously under the Catch a Ride program, the riders had choice of the taxi provider and Uber or Lyft, and now those have been expanded and include Vivalon, Roll, some of the other providers. The riders are still largely using the providers they used under the Catch a Ride program. That's what we're seeing, but some are already using the mobility wallet to add to their Clipper cards to use on the public transit providers. In the first 2 days of the data, by the way, here is just for the first 2 days. So in the first 2 days of the program, there were 64 trips taken. And as time goes by, we anticipate the riders will continue to expand the providers that they use. Again, they have choice throughout. They can use their card for any of the 10 providers right now. There have been a few hiccups as we rolled the program out, as would be expected with any new program, particularly one with a technology-related component. We've heard from riders that we have some work to do around card accessibility, and some riders have been frustrated with the long hold times while they're trying to reach the travel navigators for assistance. And there are a number of reasons for this, but just part of it is just a new program. And riders not fully understanding that they can actually take care of their questions by just using the web options or existing phone options with their cards. We'll keep you updated on the rollout of this program as we keep going forward. Next slide. And just to conclude, there is no monthly ridership report this month. We'll get back to you with that at your next meeting. And just also a reminder that there is no August meeting, and the next board meeting will be on September 8th. Concludes my report. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Nancy. Any questions?
Comment?
Yeah, Director Moulton-Peters.
Great, thank you. Nancy, congratulations on the award for the agency from
Thank you.
Women in Transportation. I am really proud of all the women and the men who are sitting here today. You really are a great little agency and do amazing things. And I was glad to be there with Board President Lucan and Director Colbert to honor you all. And then Tam was there, of course, too, getting honored for their own special award. So I want to thank you, Nancy, for your comment on the Tiburon Boulevard Highway 131 project. For my fellow board members, this is a project to resurface Tiburon Boulevard. It is $12.5 million that's been allocated. That is well beyond the city and the county's ability to resurface this road. The outreach was not great, and so we are trying to fix it on the back end right now. But I appreciated, Nancy, in particular, your characterization that we're aiming for a basic improvement right now that will allow the resurfacing to go through while maintaining all your bus stops and the bike lane. So I think if we can all live with something that does the job until we can come back in and do a really great complete street. But for now, it's just the basics. So thank you for that. And then finally, thank you for letting us know about the special meetings with you and Marin Golden Gate Transit. I will be at the one at the library the 22nd.
Thank you, Director Moulton-Peters. Any others? Director Sackett.
Nancy, the 336 enrolled in the mobile wallet, is that a number you thought you had had less, more compared to what you had in using the product prior iterations?
I think it's a pretty good amount. I don't know. I think it was very good. I think part of the reason for that, of course, is that we know who the enrollees were, so we were able to reach out to them directly. So I think we were hoping to get most of them on board, and we got close. I mean, many on board. So yeah.
Any others? Quickly, see if there's any public comment. None in the room. Any online?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
And we'll just double check. Thank you, Nancy. As we move on to our consent calendar, any public comment on consent? Not seeing any here.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Any questions or items on consent? Or are we ready to move forward with action on that? Somebody make a motion? All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved by Director Casissa, seconded by Vice President Sackett. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Consent passes. And we'll move on to item number 6, which is all about mascots.
Oh, yes. So you have heard quite a bit about this over the course of the last year and a half, probably. And so today we're going to bring you the big reveal in terms of our recommendations. So Kathleen is here to present that for you.
There we go. Good morning. I'm really pleased to be presenting this. It has been a long time coming, a long time in the making. And this effort, you see the logos of all the participating agencies on this slide. We presented to you the end of last year and to all the participating boards, just on existing conditions, sort of the introduction to the effort and existing conditions. We've continued to work on the recommendations and funding, and so coming to you with the recommendations today. And I just wanted to say before I start that not only have we been working really hard to get to these recommendations, but it has really spurred a great staff collaboration, both at my level and at Nancy's level, to be meeting monthly with all of those agencies. And has given us an opportunity to deal with a lot of other issues as well that are just relevant to all of us as North Bay Transit agencies. So I think this effort has yielded benefits far beyond just the service proposals you're going to see today that will have ongoing yield ongoing results for our riders and just for our North Bay Transit system. And it looks like we have a Zoom. Oh, there we go. Next slide. Pretty simple. I'm just going to do a little bit of a recap of what mascots is, where we've come from, go over the recommendations, and then where we go from here. Next slide. So first, just a reminder of what mascots is. This is an effort that we started last year to comprehensively evaluate transit in the 101 corridor. It is primarily focused on regional services. So the one thing we acknowledged early on is that it remains in the best interest of the riders to have the local agencies who are most grounded in really local conditions to continue to plan services for our local riders. This was really focused on the regional spine. There's sort of some high level recommendations that were made for local services. So I'll go into a little bit more how Marin Transit plans on responding to the mascots recommendations. And then the other thing is just that we really tried to ground ourselves in post-pandemic realities. Things have really changed since the pandemic. And that was one of the main reasons, one of the main impetus for the effort was to look at where does transit stand today, given all the service changes and travel changes that have happened. And then we had never done a comprehensive analysis since SMART came into service. SMART came into service and then extended to Larkspur right before the pandemic. And SMART, as you know or likely know, has really started to get its legs the last couple of years, and the ridership has been climbing immensely. And it's increasingly becoming really the primary way to get between Marin and Sonoma counties. So the effort set forth three primary goals. One is to improve our efficiency and effectiveness of the transit network as a whole to really grow ridership in the most cost-effective way possible as a collective of agencies. The second is to really work as if we were one agency. We tried to start the effort as in a operator-neutral fashion to determine what is the best suite of services to meet both existing and future riders' needs. And then to develop something that's really implementable in the near term. Next slide. So this was a process grounded in data. We brought in on a consultant last summer so that we had a sort of third-party neutral perspective and some expertise from other regions to help us all get out of our little, you know, sort of our perspective of our individual agencies and really look at our services as a whole. So we went through existing conditions. We developed a series of solutions that we kind of iterated on throughout the fall and winter and that were thoroughly discussed both at the staff level and at the general manager level. And we also conducted technical evaluation of those options, and that's what brought us to the recommendations that you'll see before you today. We're bringing this to all the boards in July and August, as simultaneously we're starting to take this out to the public, probably later this month, to get some feedback from the public on the recommendations. And the goal is to adopt the recommendations, potentially with some tweaks based on what we hear from the public and from boards, this fall and implement it in early 2026. Next slide. So the whole presentation at the end of last year was about existing conditions. I did want to reground you just at a very high level in the kind of key takeaways, the high level takeaways from the existing conditions, just because those are the primary basis of the recommendations that I'm going to go over. First, SMART has really replaced Golden Gate Transit Route 101 as the predominant way that people are getting between Sonoma and Marin. The ridership did bounce back a bit on the 101 after the pandemic, but it's kind of plateaued and at a level that is many, many times lower than what SMART is carrying in this corridor, at least in Sonoma County and between Sonoma and Marin. The 101 ridership in Southern Marin is still very strong, as you'll see. The Highway 101 in Southern Marin, and this is particularly most relevant for what we're going to do as Marin Transit, is overserved. You know, as you know, the 101 in Southern Marin, throughout Marin, but particularly sort of central and Southern Marin, is both a main street. It's the main way to get north and south in the county for local trips, and it's also the main regional route. And so that means a lot of Marin Transit service operates on the 101 because it's the only efficient way to get between different towns. As well as obviously the place that the regional service lays. So trying to right size and streamline that service in Southern Marin so that you don't have 10 different routes all doing something slightly different that's really hard for riders to understand, all at low frequencies, try and get to something a little bit more streamlined that's easier for people to understand. And any service that's higher frequency is easier to use because you don't have to study a timetable and it's only gonna come once an hour. So that's a big part of what Marin Transit changes are going to look at. Most of the travel to San Francisco is coming from Southern Marin, as you would expect. It has the highest proximity. There is travel coming from Northern Marin, and very little, actually, of the entire universe of travel going to San Francisco, not just on transit, but on all modes. The vast majority is coming from Southern Marin, some from Novato, and then very little from Sonoma County. And then the final existing conditions takeaway was just that with SMART as the new trunk line, a lot of the local services are still trying to do two things, serve the regional 101 and serve SMART, and that there really should be some redirection and reorientation to have local services make stronger direct connections to SMART if it has really become the primary spine of the way people are traveling within Sonoma and Marin. Next slide. So you'll see there's three key themes in the recommendations that I'm going to show you. And some of these I've already started to hint at, which is reducing duplication. When there's overlapping services, anything we can do to streamline into fewer services that come more frequently is really better for riders. Increased frequency improves connections. Then you don't have to have connections perfectly timed. If services are showing up more frequently, then you can just jump on a bus and trust that the bus you're connecting to is going to come shortly thereafter. Whereas if you have, let's say, hour-long frequencies, it's a lot harder to make those connections. And then this whole proposal really tries to put service where demand is. Transit is always trying to balance between coverage and ridership. You can put a bus everywhere to try and get a few people everywhere they need to go, or you can really concentrate high-frequency services where the highest ridership demand is. This proposal really puts services where the highest ridership demand is. And I just want to be clear up front that that does mean some riders either are going to have to change what they do, and there are a few riders, it's not very many, but there are a few riders who aren't going to have a very good option. Those are riders who are, riding on services that have like three or four people, which isn't a very efficient way of using our transit services, and transferring those hours to places where we can get more riders on those buses to really get riders in seats. Next slide. So this gets into the recommendations. I'm going to go one by one. This is the biggest move of the whole mascots package, and it really has two sort of different implications in Sonoma and Marin. So the Golden Gate Transit Route 101 has historically been the spine, pre-SMART was the spine that connected Marin and Sonoma and into San Francisco. The recommendation is to truncate Route 101 in Novato, so the 101 would no longer operate north of Novato, and increase frequency, reinvest those service hours in southern Marin, so you have increased frequency on the 101 where that highest demand to San Francisco is from San Rafael south. To complement that and make sure that riders between Marin and Sonoma still have really robust service, we do need to fill some gaps in the SMART schedule and expand the span of SMART somewhat. So the recommendation is to increase SMART frequency and span of service to ensure there's a really high quality option available to those riders who will no longer have the 101. Just for point of comparison, Mascot's recommendation represents a 14% increase in weekday SMART service and a 50% increase in weekend SMART service, about a 20% increase in SMART overall to backfill some of those 101 trips. next slide. So the second one is to optimize Southern Marin bus service. First, I'll go over what the recommendations are for Golden Gate. So as you may be aware, Golden Gate has two types of buses. They have commute buses, which operate just at peak periods in the peak direction, and they have regional buses, they call regional routes, which operate all day, every day in both directions. So there's three regional routes that operate all day and all week, the 101, the 130, and the 150. So the 101 is the one that goes from Sonoma all the way into the San Francisco. The 130 and the 150 both operate today between San Rafael and San Francisco. So the recommendation here is, as I mentioned, to increase the Route 101 frequency between San Rafael and San Francisco. That would mean that there's a very fast, direct one-seat ride from San Rafael into San Francisco very frequently all day long. And particularly at peak periods, there would be even more service. The 130 is the one that goes from San Rafael to Marin City and through Sausalito. The recommendation is to increase the frequency of the Route 130, so you have and truncate it in Marin City. So it would no longer go all the way to San Rafael. The 101 would be the primary route that goes from San Rafael into the city, and the 130 would go Marin City, go through Sausalito, and then go into San Francisco with higher frequency than it does today. And then the 150 would be discontinued and reinvested. That's where we get the service hours to reinvest in the 130. The 150 has pretty low ridership, and it just makes more sense to have one route with more frequency than multiple routes, each of which operate on 1 hour frequency, which is what they do today. So in terms of alternatives for those, this represents two big changes in Southern Marin. One is that Golden Gate would no longer serve the bus pads along the 101 between San Rafael and Marin City. So that those bus pads, there's about four of them, would only be served by Marin Transit. Currently, there are only a few, I should say, in non-peak periods. during the peak periods, there's still commute routes that operate along the 101 in Southern Marin, and those would continue to operate. The 114 and the 132, or the 132 operates from Standard Fell, the 114 operates from Mill Valley. And then for Marin Transit, and I can go, I know there's a lot of routes and numbers, but I'm just trying to be explicit about what's changing in Marin, because this is the biggest change in Marin. And the Marin Transit routes, we're also looking at consolidating, so we have fewer routes that come more frequently. So the goal is to have one, right now there's the 71 and the 36 are the primary trunk routes, to consolidate those resources. Actually, let's go to the next slide. consolidate those resources to provide a single 15-minute service. So you can just show up at Standard Fell Transit Center and get on a bus every 15 minutes that has the same schedule, the same stop pattern that takes you to all those the Southern Marin bus pads and to Marin City. There's a lot of other routes that operate in Southern Marin, and we've looked at a lot of different, there's a lot of different ways we can reorganize the service in Southern Marin. So today we are not coming to you with a specific service proposal. We would actually like to get some additional feedback from the public about the variety of options and what are the primary trip pairs that people want to make with one seat rides versus transfers, to serve everywhere from the canal through Standard Fell Transit Center, to serve Strawberry, the shopping center there, Marin City, and Sausalito, and really try and match the routes to the highest travel patterns. So we will be getting feedback from riders in the next couple months about these, and bring a more concrete service proposal to you by the end of August. We'll release it at the end of August to bring to your September board meeting is the current plan. So I'm going to go through some of the other recommendations. Go next slide. As I mentioned, throughout the corridor, so this goes for the Sonoma County local operators as well as Marin Transit, just makes as the strongest, most direct connections to SMART we can, without sacrificing, obviously, local connections, but to improve connectivity to SMART. Next slide. This one isn't as relevant for Marin County, but is a key one. So as I mentioned, Golden Gate operates all these commute routes that are just peak direction, peak period. There are currently three in Sonoma County, and the recommendation is to consolidate those and just operate one. They all have just slight variations in their routing, to consolidate them and do one route that has the highest frequency possible, so that people, again, can just show up and go and have higher frequency. The other recommendation for Golden Gate routes in Sonoma County, the commute routes, is that they would no longer make pickups and drop-offs in San Francisco. I mean, people who are, so currently, ever since the pandemic, Golden Gate operates open door through San Francisco. So people get on in San Francisco and get off in San Francisco. They actually serve a fair amount of local ridership in San Francisco, which is, Golden Gate routes have kind of backfilled a route that was canceled along Lombard that Muni used to operate. It yields great revenue for Golden Gate. They get a premium fare on those trips, but it does slow down those buses. These buses are commute buses that are not designed for on and off activity. They're designed for everyone to get on and then everyone to get off at the end of the route. And so for those riders coming from Sonoma County who may have already been on the bus for an hour, the recommendation is that those buses do not make the pickups in San Francisco. They're able to just operate closed door and get people to their final destinations as efficiently as possible in San Francisco. The Marin County routes would continue to do what they do today. Overall, we're not making any recommendations for the Marin County commute routes. They're actually serving their purpose pretty effectively. I will also say we're not making any recommendations for the ferry. The ferry is also serving its intended purpose pretty effectively today. Next slide. The final recommendation is to streamline Golden Gate Route 580 in East San Rafael. So the 580 is the bus that takes people from San Rafael Transit Center over into Richmond, into the East Bay, to Richmond and El Cerrito. So there's currently a 580 and a 580X. And they operate very similar, except for one stop in the East Bay and one little segment in San Rafael. The ridership on the segment that they basically, the 580 buses get off earlier. The 580X doesn't get off until close to San Rafael Transit Center. So the recommendation is to have the 580 follow the 580X alignment in Marin County. So it would no longer serve that little segment off the freeway. It slows the bus down by about 9 or 10 minutes just because of local turning movements and traffic and such. And it does not have very high ridership. So those riders who are currently might be taking the 580 in East Santa Fe will now take Marin Transit to get to the transit center, and all travel from Marin County will operate basically out of Santa Fe Transit Center into the East Bay. The 580X is going to be preserved because there's one local stop in Richmond that they still want to serve, but most trips are now going to be made on the 580. So they are switching a couple trips that are currently 580X trips are going to be 580 trips. Next slide. So just in summary, I know there's a lot of information. I'm happy to answer questions. SMART and Golden Gate Transit are basically going to be kind of consolidated in Sonoma County. The 101 will no longer operate north of Novato and will increase SMART frequency and span to backfill that 101 service. That will also be benefits to Marin County riders. I mean, that frequency and span will operate throughout Marin County as well. As I've said, streamline the routes, the Golden Gate and Marin transit routes in southern Marin, improve local bus connectivity to SMART, consolidate the commute routes in Sonoma, and operate the 580X alignment, all 580 trips on the 580X alignment in East San Rafael. Next slide. So what would this, once Mascots is implemented, this just gives a summary of what would the new service structure look like. So SMART would now be the primary Sonoma Marin regional service provider. Golden Gate Transit would provide all day express, so that's limited stop, true express service from key hubs in Marin County to San Francisco. All those options would be higher frequency. And the key, one key point that I didn't mention earlier is that with the 101 more free, so for Sonoma County riders who are coming into Marin on SMART and need to get to San Francisco, the increasing the 101 frequency from Santa Fe actually improves that connection for those riders significantly, because the 101 at peak times is going to come every 15 minutes and at all other times every 30 minutes. So when you come in on a SMART train, you will have a much better connection to the 101 to get into San Francisco, and then you'll continue to have the option to get to the city by connecting to the ferry. The peak period commute buses will continue to operate as they do today, peak hour, peak direction. Golden Gate Ferry will continue to provide that strong connection to and from SMART to connect riders to San Francisco. Local operators will make direct connections to SMART, and we will be the provider that provides local service along the 101 to all the bus hubs. Next slide. So the rider benefits of this recommendation is that it will be an easier to understand network overall. Fewer lines on the map, more consistency in stops, and higher frequency on a lot of those options. There will be better regional connections. And for most riders, the regional fares will actually be lower. SMART fares are lower than Golden Gate fares. And so the fares for most people will go down, especially if you use Clipper. So this will increase the incentive to use Clipper. And the projection is that the simplicity, frequency, and better connections will increase ridership. Next slide. So we are projecting somewhere between an 8 and 15% ridership increase, depending on the operator and the location. The service hours will be invested where demand is the highest. And so hopefully there will be more riders on the buses where we are actually operating those hours. It just improves the overall efficiency of our existing resources. And as proposed, the bus route and schedule changes are service hour neutral. So all the Golden Gate service changes were designed to be within the existing revenue envelope or revenue hour envelope, and same with Marin Transit changes. This doesn't require any major capital investments. This will require a lot of rider education. So we're doing outreach right now to get feedback on these proposals. Once they're finalized, there will also be a big rider education campaign the beginning of next year to make sure people actually understand, if they have to make a change, what that change is. Next slide. I also just wanted to summarize, as I said at the beginning, that this is going to represent a change for a lot of riders. And so this is just a summary of the impacts to riders. So for Golden Gate Route 101 riders in Sonoma County, they obviously will no longer have the 101. So for the vast majority of people, they can take SMART. We actually looked at all the Golden Gate stops, and there are very few riders who are getting on at places that they don't have a good SMART alternative that's in close proximity to that. Or some people have park and ride options, and they will have to drive to a different park and ride. For those riders who are getting on in Sonoma County need to go to San Francisco, they can transfer to a much more frequent 101 in San Rafael or to the ferry. So currently the 101 operates till well after midnight. Those trips have very few riders on them, like in the range of four or five riders. And so those riders will not have an alternative. I just want to be really explicit about that. There are no other peers we could find of our land use characteristics that operate that type of service that late at night. So this kind of aligns us with our peers, but it is an impact that I just want to be clear about. The commuter routes in Sonoma County, we'll all just use the 172, so those will all be consolidated. The 130 and 150 bus pad riders in Southern Marin County, so I mentioned the Golden Gate buses will no longer serve the bus pads in Southern Marin County, will have two commute routes they can use during peak hours that will still serve those bus pads. So the 132 and the 114 will still serve the bus pads, or they can take Marin Transit and transfer to the 130 at Marin City. The 580 riders in East San Rafael can take our Route 23 to San Rafael Transit Center. Marin Transit riders in Southern Marin may need to take a different Marin Transit route number, but our goal is to make all the trips you can make today, you will still be able to make. It just might be a slightly different arrangement of routes you have to take. And the Clipper will continue to be the most affordable way to pay. So like I said, most regional fares should go down, especially for Clipper riders. Next slide. Okay, so where do we go from here? This is my final slide. I know this has been a lot of information. We are going out to public outreach starting later this month and through August. Golden Gate is having this is a major service change for Golden Gate. And so they're holding their public hearing on this major service change. August 21st, I believe, is the date. We are following a slightly different process for our public hearing. We are actually asking for your board to set a public hearing, and we have dates specified today. Normally, we would come to you with a service package before setting a public hearing, but we want to give plenty of advance notice about the date for the public hearing. So we're asking you to set the public hearing today. There's no board meeting in August, so we will then release the service package in August. You'll have your board meeting in September where we'll go over it with you. Our public hearing policy recommends a 21-day advance notice, and there's not enough time between the September board meeting and those public hearings, which is why we're asking you to set it today. But we would have a service change. There's a chance that we wouldn't do something that constitutes a major service change, but it's highly likely based on what we're thinking about, because we're thinking about consolidating two routes into one. So just to cover our bases, we're going to assume this is a major service change, set the public hearing. You would authorize this in October. At your October board meeting would be the approval. The final thing I'll mention is that the SMART changes do entail funding needs because they're increasing their frequency and span. And so we have developed a funding package to fund SMART through a 3-year pilot period. We would evaluate the changes after 2 years, see how they worked out, and then if we need to make tweaks, that we would happen at that time. So I will leave it at that and happy to take any questions. Oh no, I have public outreach. Sorry, I forgot there's one more slide. The public outreach is a joint effort. MTC is hiring a consultant to help actually us develop the plan and implement it. We do have a website. It is live. It has not been fully populated yet, but it has some basic information on mascots, mascotsplan.org. And we are having two community open houses, which Nancy mentioned, in July. Next slide. Okay. With that, I will conclude.
Great. Thank you, Kathleen and team staff. I know this is many, many meetings behind the scenes to get us to this point. This is really exciting for all the transit agencies in the North Bay. coming together. So we'll open it up with just some questions here from my colleagues. Who wants to go first? We'll go Vice President Sackett and then Director Bushy.
Thank you, Kathleen. I'm glad you're in charge of this. I can tell you understand and really appreciate the many, many hours that you put into it. I feel like we're in good hands with all the nuances. A couple of questions that I have. The public outreach versus the education, and you've talked about it a couple of different ways, but I always am concerned when we say we're going to go do public outreach, but we already sort of know the plan. And I saw on the outreach slide of doing surveys, just really wanting to understand, like, do we want rider input in a complicated system that we may not be able to respond to it, or are we really trying to just educate them on what's going to change?
I would say both. We do, you know, the process we followed for this is these are technical recommendations grounded in the data. And so we are want to go to the public with this is what makes sense from the from a technical standpoint. I know that we will get a lot of feedback on the on that proposal. And one of the benefits of getting that is that we really understand where maybe there have been places that we didn't think about or trips that we didn't realize would be difficult to make under these recommendations. And so that is something we can take into consideration as we've, you know, kind of make tweaks or finalize these changes going into August and September. So yes, we're not saying, do you want X or X? There is one case where we actually are asking, so I'm talking about the regional changes. For the recommendation of the consultant on the 101 bus was to stop in Marin City. So that would mean all those 101 buses that operate south of San Rafael. One option is that they go straight into San Francisco as a direct side, no more stops in Marin County. The consultant actually recommended that because of the demand that shows in Southern Marin, those buses stop in Marin City. We are going to ask the public, should those buses stop in Marin City or not? And there's really pros and cons. The pro is that you give much better access to Southern Marin. From Marin City, you can get on and have a direct ride straight down the 101 into San Francisco. Otherwise, you have to take the 130 through Sausalito. The con is that it adds travel time. Marin City is not the most accessible hub. Ideally, you'd have something that's really easy on and off from the freeway. That's not true at Marin City. It probably takes 6 to 9 minutes, depending on the time of day, to get off the freeway through Marin City and back on the freeway. So for those riders, most the majority of the demand that's going between San Rafael and San Francisco, it's a time penalty. There's also the option that some of those 101 buses could stop and not all of them. So that's one thing we are going to be asking riders about. And then the rest of the feedback we'll just take as sort of as information to see if there's ways that we can adjust or take the local services to basically backfill like some of the regional changes. I will say on the Marin Transit side, we're not going to the public with a proposal. We will tell people we're thinking about consolidating the 36 and the 71. But other than that, we'll be going forth with a lot of different kind of possibilities of, and they will absolutely be able to give opinions on which of those make the most sense.
Great, thank you. And then there was mention, but not a lot of detail about Marin Transit making stronger connections to each of the smart stops. And I know when we've talked about this before, it's not possible for Marin Transit to meet at each smart stop along the time doesn't work. So how do you make those connections stronger? Are you just focusing on the transit center in a couple of hubs, or how do you make those?
The main one we've talked about is San Marin. Could we have more service that is in that operates to San Marin? A lot of the other smart stations that we don't already serve are difficult to serve or impossible to serve for reasons that we can't overcome with this study. There are still some that we would love to have a better connection with, like Novato Hamilton, but it's a difficult situation to be resolved, but it's something we're sort of always working on. I don't know. Is there any other one I'm forgetting aside from San Marin? So I think San Marin is the main one. This recommendation on the mascots level was really focused on the Sonoma County operators who can make much better connections to the downtown Santa Rosa station. San Marin's the main additional one that Marin Transit would make.
Thank you.
Director Bushy.
Thank you. I have some questions about the details plan you brought forward and a more, as well as some forward looking questions.
Yes.
I'll start with the details. Just to confirm, so the additional smart service will run the entire length.
Correct.
Of the smart. And about how many more trains per day will there be?
Three.
Three more trains a day.
Round trips.
Round trips. Now, in addition, the San Rafael Transit Center mm-hmm. will have additional bus service, mm-hmm. which as a transit user, I think is an awesome thing. Frequency is, your strategy is exactly correct to get more riders. I'm thinking though about the traffic impacts of additional bus service and additional train service in that already very congested area of San Rafael. Mm-hmm. Has there been any thought about the traffic consequences? And if not, is there a willingness to work with San Rafael's traffic engineers to assess what the impact might be?
Yeah, we haven't explicitly addressed that. I think compared to the number of buses that are going through there, this increase in buses is extremely incremental. We're talking about one or two additional buses at the peak. So compared to the hundreds of buses that are going in and out of there at the peak hour, this is kind of a drop in the bucket. The smart service will all be added at non-peak times. Okay. So it's filling midday gaps in the smart schedule and expanding the span earlier or later.
So as a whole, you would not expect these to have a material impact on
the
traffic in Center Belt.
Yeah.
That's great news. Thank you. Now shifting gears a little bit more to the future. It was wonderful to hear that your staff collaboration has been working so well, and particularly when it leads to efficiency for our riders and puts the riders first. I'm wondering how we can, or what the plan is for the future. How do we keep this concept going and perhaps be expanded in the future?
Yeah. Well, I would say we're still so in the weeds on this that we haven't 100% charted what we do from here. But I do anticipate that the service planning level and at the general manager level that these monthly meetings are going to continue. We've talked about tackling fares. We've talked about tackling access in and out of hubs like Marin City. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different issues we've actually talked about as kind of a parking lot of things that we could tackle once this effort is over. But I think there's also a marketing group that meets monthly. And I anticipate that meeting is going to continue for the foreseeable future as well.
So there's a forum to bring forward all the great ideas that the future will hold.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Bushy. Director Casissa.
Sorry, technical difficulties. Yeah, a great presentation, by the way, and I give you a lot of credit. Just it's information overload to a certain degree, but you have all this stuff nailed down. So I really give you credit for that. I think you'd mentioned that we may have to provide funding to SMART. Will all transit agencies involved with mascots have to provide funding also? I assume there'd be some kind of formula, or is that primarily us?
It's not primarily us. Okay. Our goal is to keep this having no fiscal impact to Marin Transit. And we were able to come up with a funding package for this 3-year pilot that basically utilizes existing sources. There will be, so riders, there's formula funds that flow to us that are split by formula between, let's say, Golden Gate, SMART, and Marin Transit. It's split on revenue hours and ridership. So to the degree this affects ridership, revenue hours, there will be a little increase in SMART revenue hours, but ridership, those formulas will adjust accordingly. They're dynamic formulas that are adjusted to put money where the ridership is and where the service is. So there will be some impacts, but they're just in the course of kind of the normal dynamic nature of those funding formulas. All the other funding sources are not Marin Transit funding sources.
Okay, so it sounds like just reallocation between our funding sources.
Yeah.
Okay. And then do you know if we're the first transit agency to be hearing this proposal, or is it, have other transit agencies heard it? Do you know?
Yeah, Golden Gate was about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
A little over a week ago. And then TAM will be later this month. SMART will be later this month. Those are the big ones. And then I think Sonoma and Petaluma and Santa Rosa might be in early August.
Okay. And what was the feedback from Golden Gate Transit, or did you hear
it? They approved the public hearing and they approved going forward with the with taking it to the public. I think generally supportive. There were some concerns about cutting this 101 bus, which is has been the flagship route in Marin and Sonoma since forever, for decades. And so there was some concern around that that was expressed, as well as around some of the impacted riders. But again, Golden Gate has looked at the ridership numbers and the routes that the stops that they're no longer going to serve do not serve a lot of riders. And so it's really just an efficiency change to get the buses to where they think the highest ridership potential is.
Okay.
But there were concerns expressed about that, understandably.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. And I really like the concept of frequency, where if I know I can take a bus or public transit, it's every 15 minutes. I don't have to worry about, you know, running to catch something. I know when it's coming.
Yeah.
I like the frequency concept. So thank you.
Yeah.
Director Rodoni.
Yeah. Thank you, President Lucan. Kathleen, really good update and report. Appreciate the way you identified maybe some of the issues that might come forth. I wanted to talk about the pilot, though.
Yeah.
Sounds like a 2 to 3 year review.
Yeah.
Sort of what's being proposed. And I know we sometimes are much more nimble with our review. Will that be continued as far as Marin Transit, if we want to look at things more quickly and make changes more quickly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, the pilot is really just for the regional changes.
Okay.
And to be really explicit, things like if SMART has offered a late night trip before, it didn't have great ridership.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to try this. We're going to try it for 2 full years to make sure that people really have a chance to get used to it, because previously they've piloted it for shorter periods of time. But if the ridership really doesn't materialize, it might make sense to put those hours somewhere else where they think there's going to be more ridership. So that's a specific example of the type of thing we would be evaluating. But for Marin Transit, we'll be continuing our normal sort of service development process, that if what we put out there doesn't work for people, we can change it before 2 years.
Great. I appreciate that. And certainly appreciate the effort. I think it's something, you know, developing efficiencies is what everyone wants with any public entity or any government. So I think it's a great effort. But I also want to focus on and identify who are we leaving behind, because
mm-hmm.
I think it's important to at least understand who that is and recognize, you know, are they transit dependent and this is the only opportunity option for them? Understanding that, I don't know that it's our responsibility to figure it all out, but I think we need to also be focused on, you know, who are we leaving behind and are there other options, other relationships with business or something that we could team up and provide Uber or something
mm-hmm.
if it's a small number of people. So I just appreciate that. And I think we'll hear more of that as we have our public hearing. Thank you.
Director Moulton Peters.
Yeah, I'm going to plus one Supervisor Rodoni's last comment. And in fact, Nancy and I talked about this, Dennis, that it's the late night riders and there may be a business solution for that handful that I think would be good to explore. And the other thing that even Golden Gate itself does for employees is run van pools. So that's another option that we could offer. Kathleen, thank you. This was a great report. I want to ask a little about the outreach. This is very dense information. I found myself listening and trying to assimilate it all. So as you go out to the public, I'm glad that you'll have some consultant help, because I think the visuals can mm-hmm. help tell the story more briefly. And MTC has done some work recently with the Regional Network Management Program that really had some great summary visuals that could condense. I think you need before and after slides for routes somehow with granular info that riders can really understand. And I want to ask, you know, it may not be necessary to report out on the whole system at both meetings. I don't know what the plan is, but maybe you focus on San Rafael North at the San Rafael meeting. I don't know. But I want to observe that, and I've written to you that, you know, Southern Marin will see quite a bit of change. And I think we need, I'm going to make sure, and I'm sure you will, that the council members and the city managers and the CSDs and everybody will be invited to Marin City for June 22nd. And then finally, I just want to observe really for the board that Southern Marin has very little representation on this board for the amount of service we have. Fred, I'm glad you joined. When Mary Beth, when you step down, we'll miss you, but I'm going to suggest that Sausalito or Marin's Mill Valley come in and take the alternate seat to provide some more coverage. I think San Rafael has good coverage between Micah and the three supervisors. So just a comment about mm-hmm. what I think we need representation-wise on this board. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments? I'll just want to once again commend the effort. I mean, this really is exciting for all of the North Bay transit agencies. And over the years, there's been so much written and said about 27 transit agencies in the Bay Area. There's been talks of forced consolidation and other things in legislation. I think what we're doing in the North Bay really is a model mm-hmm. That can be used throughout the Bay Area. So it's really exciting to see the collaboration working together and really doing what's in the best interest of the riders at the end of the day. So I think this is just exciting, just the collaboration that's taking place and what's going to come out of it. I know there's a lot of work ahead, but I want to commend the effort and putting the riders first, as our agencies have always done. So with that, we'll see, is there any public comment? Don't see any in the room. Is there any online?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Sounds good. And I believe we do need to take action to set the public hearing. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, so we've received the report. Can we make a motion? Why don't we make a motion to officially receive the report and set the public hearing?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Director Rodoni, seconded by Director Moulton Peters. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Thank you so much, Kathleen and team, for all your great work on this. We'll move on to item number 7, which is FAIR programs and policy updates and approvals.
Okay. And for this item, we have Kathleen will be back with us here to help Joanna Hewitt present the a summary of several actions or a variety of changes that we've been looking at and codifying a certain number of our policies. So with that, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's you. Kathleen, you're going to start.
Don't get to okay. sit back in the
okay.
those chairs yet. So this does bring a variety of FAIR-related items to your board as one item. Joanna and I will co-present, so I'll start us off and then pass it off to Joanna. We'll cover an update on the FAIR study, which we finalized at the beginning of last year, and your board adopted the recommendations. We have two new policies that basically codify our existing FAIR practices into official agency policies, an overarching FAIR policy, and then a single ride bulk ticket purchase policy. And then our free fare promotions that are planned for this coming fiscal year, the fiscal year we just started. Next slide. Oops, I should have said next slide for the agenda. I will say before we move on that there are several actions embedded in this item. So we'll try and go over all the information so that you are comfortable taking those actions. Next slide. So as you may recall, in 2023, we undertook a FAIR study that was really about FAIR collection, how we collect fares. It wasn't really about FAIR policy. There were three core recommendations that your board adopted the beginning of last year. I'll actually start at the bottom of these bullets. We knew Next Generation Clipper was coming. MTC and the region is making a huge investment in upgrading the Clipper system to make it a modern contactless fares payment system. It has a lot of new discounts for riders embedded, a lot of interagency transfer benefits embedded. And so we knew that was coming. And we simultaneously had our Odyssey fare boxes that are what we currently collect fares that are really, really reaching the end of their useful life. So rather than making a big investment to the tune of, you know, $1 million or $2 in upgrading those validating fare boxes with another really sophisticated fare payment system, we opted to go with mechanical drop fare boxes, which are very low cost, very reliable, and just a much simpler way to collect cash on our buses. So that was the first recommendation. And then the second was to our currently the validating fare boxes is how we collected ridership. So to transition to automated passenger counters for passenger counting on our onboard our buses. So we've made really substantive progress on this. We have put out an RFP to solicit those drop fare boxes. We anticipate by the end of the year, we should actually have selected a vendor and gotten those drop fare boxes to put on our buses. And we've made the we got new passenger counters. We did a procurement to get passenger counters, and we have transitioned to using those passes. We got FTA certification, and we've now transitioned. Our ridership counts are coming from those automated passenger counters. It's a great transition because we now have both boardings and alightings data. We didn't have that before, so we know where people are getting on and off because they're basically just capturing that movement as it gets on and off the bus. And it's much more accurate than what we were using before. So we're excited to have made progress on that. Unfortunately, Clipper has had some delays. So we won't be able to fully make the transition to using those drop fare boxes until the Clipper system is in place. Staff at our agency and all the agencies in the Bay Area are tracking that process really closely. And we're hoping that system will be live by the end of the year. Once it goes live, we'll do another big outreach push just to make sure our riders know that Clipper is the best way to pay, because under the new Clipper system, it really will be the most financially advantageous way for our riders to pay. Next slide. So the next is just an overarching fare policy. We've discussed fare policy a lot since the pandemic, in various forms through promotions that we've done, and talking about our fare policy in general. The overarching context is that our fares do bring in a substantive amount of money that we fund service with. So although our fare is not large, the cumulative sum of all of the fares that we're getting paid is actually a substantive amount of money. And it's part of the funding picture that allows us to provide high quality service to our riders. So our staff is consistently trying to balance that fact with the fact that we really want people, especially the most vulnerable populations, to have ready access to our services. This is a public good. We want we don't want funds to be a barrier to people using our services. So the essence of this policy is that our approach to fares in general is to strike this balance between keep our base fare low. It's been the same fare for over 20 years at $2. Offer deeper discounts to the highest need populations, senior or older adults, youth, people with disabilities, low income folks in all those categories. But collect the full fare from those who can pay so that we can reinvest that money in providing service and backfilling kind of the fare revenue loss from those populations we offer discounts to. So the fare policy kind of codifies that overarching approach. And it also just mentions our federal requirements, what are our current fares and discounts, how we deal with promotional fares, other discounts, and what we do about fare changes. So I hope you had a chance to read it, but that's the gist of the fare policy. Is just to this doesn't entail any change in what we're doing. It really just codifies it into a policy so we have something official to reference. For the second policy, I'm going to turn it over to Joanna. Next slide.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. So I'll be sharing some information about the single ride ticket policy. So first I'll share a little bit about what single ride tickets are. On the slide in the upper right, you can see a graphic of the single ride ticket. It's a ticket that allows the holder to board the bus and not pay a cash fare when they board. It's good for a single ride. Marin Transit has historically offered these single ride tickets at no cost to homeward bound and select community partners so that they can then distribute them to high need populations. Additionally, other agencies or CBOs have purchased these tickets at the customer service window at the San Rafael Transit Center to meet other community needs. So this policy was really developed to create a formal framework for distributing single ride tickets, and then also to offer a tiered pricing structure with discounts for bulk purchases. And you can see that on the slide here. So staff are requesting that your board approve this policy, and should it be approved, we will monitor sales usage and continue to monitor any budget impacts that this has. And the complete policy was included in the packet. Next slide, please. Okay, so fare free promotions. So this is a topic we've discussed with your board many times over the past couple of years, and we've tested a variety of fare promotions and then evaluated their impacts. These fare free promotions do provide us an opportunity to highlight special days when transit is aligned with related environmental and congestion reduction efforts or support other civic goals. And on the slide here, you can see some of the fare-free days offered over the past year. So to assess the impact of these promotions, staff evaluated impacts on ridership and revenue loss. And ultimately, the analysis demonstrated that fare-free promotions don't result in notable increases in ridership and do result in lost fare revenue. What they do, however, for the community is to provide, and our team is to provide opportunities to engage our current riders, to encourage new riders and ridership as a whole. They allow us to collaborate with regional partners and align with civic, environmental, and congestion-related goals, which are all positive things for the district. So due to this, and from our evaluation, staff do recommend continuing several of the fare-free promotional days in the coming year. And we also recommend adopting the youth ride free for summer and fare free during the Marin County Fair on an ongoing basis. So the promotions that we recommend include to continue are Clean Air Day, Election Day, Transit Equity, and Earth Day. And then, of course, the two promotional periods for the summer and for the county fair. And then finally, the recommendation does include preserving two extra days to implement as needed at the discretion of the general manager. Next slide. So this slide here summarizes the actions we're requesting from your board that both Kathleen and I presented. So first is to approve the fare policy. Second would be to approve the single ride ticket policy. Third would be to approve the 8 fare-free days or periods in the coming year. And then finally, the free fares for youth during the summer and free fares during the county fair. We request that you authorize this on an ongoing basis. Next slide. And that is it. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Kathleen. Any questions on these? Oh, Director Bushy.
Hi. My question is about what's missing from the policy. In the policy, you say that we've had a strategy of keeping the base fare fixed, basically, for 2 decades now. But you don't address what future holds. Is it the continuing policy of this agency to hold that amount fixed for the next 2 decades? And if so, what is the strategy to cover the ever widening gap between costs and fares?
So we don't address that in the fare policy. The fare policy is just designed to codify what we're doing today. We did discuss this at the short range transit plan or at the budget item last month and the prior month. And we are planning on coming to your board with a workshop regarding the financial part of the short range transit plan, where we'll discuss that specific issue in depth. Fares is definitely a lever that we have that can bring in additional revenue. Mm-hmm. And so it is one of the tools that we'll be discussing with your board at that short range transit plan workshop in the fall.
So this is just a book report, actually, a report on what is actually occurring now, as opposed to setting some strategic goals.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any others? Oh, Director, Vice President Sackett.
I'm just really excited that sort of the option of school field trips could be in there with the loss of all the yellow bus service that has become a whole. And so, you know, an opportunity to help service, I'm thinking midday field trips for schools, and also give kids that opportunity to get on public transit with their schools that they may not otherwise do, I think is a great opportunity. And I appreciate the footnote. I hope it becomes part of the full story.
Not seeing any others. Is there any public comment on this? Don't see any in the room.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right, so we do have a handful of items here that we need to approve with this, but it could all be done in one motion. Maybe I'll just restate it. We want to approve the following: the Marin Transit fare policy, the Marin Transit single ride ticket policy, 8 fare free days or periods in fiscal year 26, and free fares for youth during the summer and free fares during the Marin County Fair on an ongoing basis. Was somebody able to make that motion?
I can make the motion.
All right. We have a motion by Director Casissa, second by Director Rodoni. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That passes. Thank you. Moving on to item number 8, capital projects update. This is a discussion item.
It is. Anna Pinoyer, our manager of capital projects, will be presenting this item, and she's going to talk about the 2 projects that are in active construction.
Good morning, Board of Directors, President Lucan. Nancy introduced me already, but I'm Anna Pinoyer, Capital Projects Manager at Marin Transit. And item number 8 in your board packet this morning is an update on the capital projects that are currently under construction. Next slide. We'll talk about improvements at 301030-20 Kerner Boulevard in San Rafael, the countywide ADA bus stop improvements, as well as touch on some upcoming capital projects. Next slide. So for 301030-20 Kerner Boulevard, we've been working on this project since the parcel was purchased in July 2022, with the intention of making it into a parking facility for a portion of our fleet. It's adjacent to the Marin Access Operations and Maintenance Facility at 3000 Kerner Boulevard. In the picture on your screen, it's like the smaller square-shaped building is 3000 Kerner. By parking our paratransit fleet next to this facility, it allows for drivers and management to be co-located, enhancing communication and supervision between those two groups. And a construction award for the improvements we're talking about today was awarded by your board in December 2024. Next slide. So this slide shows a layout of the proposed improvements. There's parking space here for up to 45 vehicles. Solar canopies are located on the northern side of the parking lot or the left-hand side of this layout image. There is a battery backup system and electrical equipment in the bottom right-hand side of the parking lot. And just above that, there will be the installation of 2 EV chargers. We're going to lay conduit around the whole facility for future electric chargers so that the whole site can be a zero emission parking lot. And of course, there will be fencing and lighting at the facility to help protect our infrastructure. Next slide. We're very excited to be moving forward. There's some challenges with construction that we have identified. The most relevant one today is the switchgear procurement, which is the 3rd or 4th bullet point on there, depending on how you're looking at bullet points. This is an electrical component that has really long lead times of 10 to 12 months. And we are projecting that the switchgear delivery will delay the project closeout at this point, unfortunately. Next slide. So this is our construction timeline, simplified heavily, from contract award in December 2024. That is the dark green section. Right from there until last month, we've been working on the solar design. So the construction contract was bid out with a solar portion being a design build. So the team has been working on that solar design and getting it approved by the city of San Rafael and by PG&E. and moving that forward. We did get final approval last month, which is very exciting. During this period, there was also procurement of long lead time items like the switchgear previously discussed, as well as steel is also a long lead time item. The next section is the site preparation. This actually overlapped with the solar design period and includes demolishing the remaining features on the site, like the parking lot of the old building and driveways. They started grading the site and off-hauling extra soil. The next section is underground work, which is dark bluish purple here, and this is underway. It includes the installation of catch basins for water runoff on the site, as well as installation of all the conduit for the future and existing electrical. In September, we estimate that construction of the solar canopy will begin. And once those piers that will support the canopy are drilled, they actually can start work on the parking lot. Once the parking lot is completed, we can start using the facility while we wait for switchgear delivery, which is right now estimated to come in January of 2026. Once we install the switchgear, then PG&E will come in to do their final installation or final tie-ins to our new infrastructure. Next slide. So included here are some pictures from this site. In the top left-hand corner, you can see some of the old pavement that had to be demolished. In the old drainage system for the parking lot is in the top right-hand corner. In the bottom left-hand corner, you can see the installation of one of those catch basins where the runoff will go to. And in the bottom right-hand corner, you can see some of the rough grading of the site. Next slide. So we're super excited to be in construction on this project and are currently updating our website with progress on the project. We are posting monthly newsletters that are also available on the site as well for any neighbors who are walking by. next slide. So the next project that's under construction under a construction contract is the Marin County bus stop improvements. Next slide. I'm not going to talk through the whole history of this project because it's extensive, but we did start with a bus stop conditions assessment conducted in 2017, which helped us prioritize improvements for this project. And then finally, a construction award was awarded by your board in January 2025 to Coastside Concrete. Next slide. This slide shows an overview of all the improvements that are going to be made. It's also included in your board packet. It might be easier to read there. But high level, we're making improvements at 14 locations. We're replacing shelters or adding shelters at 13 locations. And we're also adding 3 new bus stops, 1 in the canal and 2 paired stops in Novato to serve the Marin Community Clinics there. Next slide. So this project had 2 notice to proceed. The first one was to procure of long lead time items. In this case, this was the bus shelters, which had a 4 to 5 month delivery period. So we awarded the contract in January and issued that NTP, and the contractor ordered those shelters pretty quickly. And so we've been waiting for those shelters to arrive. In the meantime, they're also doing other pre-construction activities, like a lot of coordination with each of the jurisdictions where these bus stops live, and making sure that they have full understanding of all the plan sets and have their traffic control plans in place. Lots of important activities going on. I believe the shelters are getting delivered next week, which is very exciting. So the contractor is anticipating that they're going to break ground and start active construction later this month. And the duration of the construction should last through November. And so with that, in January, there are three new bus stops that we need to plan to serve. So the operations and service planning team are planning to make routing changes to serve those new bus stops in January. Next slide. So bus stop improvements do require an incredible amount of coordination, not just with cities and towns and the county where the bus stops live, but also with our operators and, of course, our passengers. Alternative bus stop locations have been identified for each stop and we'll be posting notices both at the physical stops before construction occurs, as well as through our website and through real-time information feeds. And we'll also be posting updates on our project website, which the link is right there. Next slide. In addition to these projects currently in construction, we're looking ahead at some upcoming projects. Next slide. At our facility at 600 Rush Landing Road in Novato, we're looking at both building renovations to make better use of the office building at this site, as well as rehabilitating the parking lot there where the pavement is failing. And in addition to that, adding some electrical capacity for our next battery electric vehicle purchase. We're looking at starting design this fall. For 3000 Kerner, we're going to add a driver break room inside this facility. This will serve drivers who will now be accessing parked vehicles at the parking lot next door, which we talked about earlier. So kind of trying to make this project, finishing it really so that there's a break room and bathroom access for the drivers who will now be accessing this facility. We plan to do the design package with the package for the Rush Landing building improvements. Next, we're also looking at the Redwood and Grant bus stop and making some updates at that facility. We're looking to change the information display cases to make them more readable and usable, as well as replacing features that have deteriorated and fixing up the paint, et cetera, making it look brand new again. We're also doing always vehicle replacements. So there's an upcoming paratransit vehicle purchase that we're working on, as well as our next zero emission bus purchase. And finally, in conjunction with the short range transit plan, we're updating our zero emission bus rollout plan. And this piece is planned to bring to your board in September. Next slide. That concludes my report. Thank you for your time. I'm happy to answer any additional questions.
Hey, thank you, Anna. Any questions? No. Well, thank you for the comprehensive report. Mm-hmm. We'll see this from public. Any comments on this?
I see no one in the room, and I will give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. We'll keep our eye out for the shiny new bus stops and shelters. All right. Last item, item number 9, fixed route maintenance facility update.
Thank you, President Lucan. I'll be presenting this item. So, Kate, you want to bring up the slides? Thanks. Item 9 in your packet provides an update on the proposed fixed route facility project. Today, I'll provide a brief overview of the project, the project programming needs, and other project components that are under study, draft site plan, and our community environmental outreach process. All right, next slide. Sorry. All right. 1075 East Francisco was purchased in November back last year. It's a 3.5 acre site bordered by East Francisco on the 580 freeway on the west, which is to the lower side of your screen here. of the diagram. It has Castro Avenue to the north, that short little street. And then the tip of the property touches Kerner Boulevard there up on the east side to the right on the screen here. But access via Kerner has been deemed impossible. And then lastly, on the south side, it's bordered by other commercial businesses. The land use surrounding the site is commercial mixed use and light industrial. The total project budget is $46.7 million, which includes site acquisition and development of the site, as well as $2.2 million for workforce development and childcare, which was a part of our grant. The goal is to provide a permanent location for maintaining, parking, and charging the majority of our fleet of fixed route buses. We are currently in the environmental and programming phase, which I'll talk about next. Next slide, Kate. We have been working with our on-call engineering team to develop the project programming and a draft site plan. And the 3.5 acre site is smaller than the 5 to 6 acres that of the desired site size. As you know, we've been looking for a long time for a larger site. So the programming is constrained, and the final project won't include all of the desired project components. Examples of the trade-offs we have made are shown here on the slide. We plan to relocate the dispatch space and the conference and training room to the facility at Rush Landing. We reduced the number of bus bays from 6, the desired number of 6, down to 5. We've combined the maintenance worker and driver break rooms and restrooms. Originally, we had hoped to have those as separate ones for the drivers, separate for the maintenance workers. And then we've lastly determined that an on-site childcare facility isn't really feasible. The site is on bay mud, which limits the building height as well. So without adding significant cost and potential environmental impacts, it will be very challenging to build up. Okay, next slide, Kate. The $31.5 million federal grant supporting the project includes a workforce development and childcare components. And on the left side here, you can see a little description of what we're doing there. We're collecting information. We've been meeting with several partners around Marin County. You probably know there are many organizations involved in childcare and in workforce, and we're working with them to identify the best options for us to expend the funds and to actually leverage them with other funds as well to maximize the benefits to the community and to our workforce. We have a survey that we're doing for our drivers, primarily our other employees, and then community partners as well, to see what kinds of needs are out there and how we might best address them. We are also completing technical evaluations, or have completed some of potential uses that are outside of what we call our core needs. So the core needs were those that were described on the previous slide. Some of the things that we talked about early on, in fact, when the board approved this project, we're adding a housing project or a retail component to the site. And we determined that was not feasible, not because it wasn't economically feasible and or viable, I should say. And it was likely to cause significant delays to the project. Similarly, including on-site childcare was determined not to be the best way to address the community employee need. We've talked about that before. I think the childcare facility development has some very specific requirements, and with the constraints on this site, they just simply couldn't be met. With input from the City of San Rafael staff and community partners, Marin Transit has identified 5 project elements that or community needs that we believe should be further evaluated. In fact, are studying and discussing, and those are listed here on the right-hand side of the slide. In part to address the question about retail, we were thinking about food vending and specifically a food truck. So we're looking at having a space for a food truck to be parked on site. We've also talked about private vehicle EV charging, so the need for more EV chargers in the area, looking at both on-site within the employee or visitor parking area to provide EV charging to the community, potentially looking at some chargers on the East Francisco parking, on the street side parking there, so curbside. A community room has been requested for an investigation into that. And as I mentioned, we've already had to move our training facility up to the site at Rush Landing. So we are looking at other ways of doing that, maybe not on the site, but other ways that we could address that community need and actually further investigate what the need is. Talked about car share parking. That's been a request as well for car share in the neighborhood. And then I've already talked about some of the childcare support through offsite capacity building. That is one of the ways that we may look at that, as well as vouchers, which, by the way, we did mention in our grant as vouchers to our employees to help subsidize childcare. So those are some of the other project components. Kate, you want to move to next slide, please? Yeah. So we have a concept that has been prepared primarily to look at the operational feasibility and for the environmental review. And this layout, this is one of many iterations of the layout that we've looked at, but it provides programming for majority of our needs and the needs that had been detailed on that earlier slide. So we were able to include 5 maintenance bays and a bus wash within that building. The building footprint is there kind of in the middle left portion of the site, outlined in black. It has parking for about 57 employee parking spaces. Again, some of these numbers are shifting about a little bit. It does allow for adequate circulation of the buses. So some of the lines you see on the diagram here, in fact, are the bus turning radiuses and showing how buses could maneuver in and out of the bays and around the parking area. Just for your information as well, the gray, there's also, of course, charging along for all of the buses. The zigzag portion in the middle would serve as the buses that are parked in the central right of the slide here, as well as chargers along the eastern portion of the facility as well. There would also be an access point along Castro that we're showing, and access points on Francisco, so driveways there that would provide for good circulation of the buses. The gray shaded area there is where the previous owner had the site surcharged, or the soil, which is just essentially compacting the soil so that which is bay mud, so that it can be built upon. And geotech engineers are considering what further surcharging will be needed for the location of our proposed building and the rest of the site. And as I mentioned, this is very much an iterative process, and refinements and changes to this will be occurring through final design. Next slide, Kate. Back in March, your board approved a draft facility engagement and scoping plan, is what we called it. And we began that community coordination process. We've hired a consultant team to help us with this work. We've hosted booths at Nuestro Canal, Nuestro Futuro events, 2 of them, in fact, which were very well attended. And we were able to collect some input on our facility. We had boards there. We did some dot voting exercises where we did identify what some of the priorities were for the people attending those events. And the 3 top identified priorities from community members were frequent and reliable bus service, clean, well-lit bus stops, and sidewalk and lighting improvements. All right, Kate, next slide. So the project will require both CEQA and NEPA review and the related documents. The consultant team is preparing an analysis of any potential new significant environmental impacts of the proposed project, supported by the technical studies, including a traffic study, cultural resources, noise and vibration, geology and hydrology. And the draft CEQA document and technical studies are planned to be circulated for public review at the beginning of August. So those studies are well underway. And after the public review period, staff anticipates finalizing the CEQA document and bringing the recommendation to your board on October 6th at your regularly scheduled meeting. Staff also expects the FTA and NEPA process, which they conduct, they are the lead on doing that. They will review the proposed project and will be complete in about the same time frame. Next slide, Kate. So then looking at our timeline, the graphic on the left does show the overall timeline where we are in the plan, started planning back in 2023. We're, as I mentioned, in the environmental phase. We hope to go to design here in the coming months. And then we would be having an operational facility available to us in 2030, which would help us meet our CARB goals. The upcoming milestones, I think I've covered most of these. We will be doing a public outreach event on July 23rd. We will issue the CEQA documents for review, come back to your board in October with a recommendation based on the proposed project, based on that circulation of the environmental document. And then if those CEQA and NEPA approvals are achieved, then we will begin the design procurement in the fall. Yeah. And I think that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you, Nancy. Any questions here? Director Moulton Peters.
It's a comment.
Oh, questions or comments?
Okay. Nancy, I want to appreciate the community outreach that you all did. And I thought it was interesting that the top three priorities were frequent service, clean stops, and sidewalks and lighting, which I think all riders want. So mm-hmm. Thank you for doing that. I wanted to observe in your drawing on slide 14, boy, that is really got all the buses and just everything just packed in there. And it's amazed it worked. I'm sorry that we had to give up a number of the amenities for the site and for the community, but I thought that your plan to look throughout the neighborhood for ways you might accommodate some of these other requests. Yeah. Certainly I've seen childcare provided off-site by other employers before, so that's not unusual. So we just do the best we can with what we have. And I also want to observe it sure is good we're doing this now to meet those CARB goals. It's just right just in time with your schedule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. Keep going.
Thank you.
I'm Vice President Sackett.
Nancy, on slide three, the desired versus site constraint on the solar component, maybe I missed it, but there's a couple asterisks there. I mean, I understand there's site limitations, but not having solar charging.
Yeah, so we will. So yeah, that is a little confusing, especially since we left the footnote is actually in the packet. But what the idea here is that we will have power for the building through solar. Okay, so we'll be able to power up that. But power for the buses, it takes so much that, you know, all through our investigation, we've determined that there's just not enough solar capacity to be able to charge all of our buses. You know, we'd have 50, 40 some odd buses, and they just wouldn't be able to store enough solar and have enough solar panels to be able to achieve that. Again, we've actually toured four or five sites where they are solar is being installed, and that's been a common finding. Yeah.
Are we thinking of using like MCE Deep Green so that we can capture that solar from the grid in a different manner?
Different way, yes. Yeah, because we will be purchasing power, sure. And so, yes, yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any others? Director Rodoni.
Nancy, thanks for the update. I really appreciate it. So as you go through the CEQA process, will you include all those five options potentially? Community options in the CEQA analysis?
Right now, yes. I think we don't necessarily directly include those because we don't believe there is a change to the document, right? There is no, so for example, we don't see that there's a change to having, for example, if we're going to provide EV charging, we don't, there's no change to that what we're currently doing. It's just how we would do it. So I think the answer is yes, we think it's in there. It's not necessarily explicitly called out. And because we, a community room, for example, we are thinking at this point that there isn't space for that. So it's not in this preliminary design, but again, even if it weren't, we don't know that it would have any change to the environmental document because when we think about the impacts of traffic, noise, archaeology, those sorts of things, it doesn't typically wouldn't have an impact.
Very good. And then on the 23rd, if I wrote this down right, you have two workshops going that night? Was the mascot that night too?
It's basically a transit workshop.
Okay, very good.
It's a single.
Okay. Gate where there'll be multiple stations.
Okay. Again, given your schedule, if something comes out of that meeting, can you still meet your deadline on the CEQA release?
We will try to, okay. Certainly, but yes, you're right. If something major were to change, then we could would push the schedule if okay. we had to. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Not seeing any others. Nancy, thank you for the report and the update. Is there any public comment on this?
I see no one in the room. I will give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. If there's no other discussion on this, that's our last item for the day and concludes our meeting. So with that, our meeting is adjourned. Reminder, no meeting in August. We'll be back here in September. Thank you.
Thank you.